Come meet me at the museum with Alan and Daniel. We'll talk about the Cardinals all night long. Everyone come gather round, listen to your favorite sound. We'll talk about the Cardinals all night long. We'll talk the games and all the rest, about the team that we love best. We'll talk about the Cardinals all night long. Gonna talk about the Cardinals all night long.
And we welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. You think I'd know it by now. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt, Red Bird, and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. You probably noticed we had a little bit of a different intro today. That's our new theme song. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know on the Twitters or on the Facebook or wherever you're getting this at, what you think. But the pandemic and all this stuff, Alan and I've talked about this a little bit anyway, but some of you may remember that on my old solo show that I had a theme song. It was done by a guy here locally here in Russellville. His name's Rob McCormick. His band is some guy named Rob. I don't get to use that one anymore because, you know, it didn't really fit for what Alan and I were doing. Alan and I got talked, we contracted with him, and Rob was gracious enough to put something together for us. So hope that you've enjoyed that. If you have, find Rob. His website is sgnrobb.com. You can find him on Facebook, some guy named Rob. He does a daily show on Facebook and Twitch and things of that nature, playing music and things like that. And you can also find him on Spotify. He's got a Patreon, you know, all those things, because, you know, this time of, you know, it's been tough on these people that have, you know, the gig economy, as it were, that when you can't go out and do, you got to find new ways to bring in revenue. So give him a shot and go look and see. But that's where we're at with that. I know some of you may miss Stan and his harmonica. Probably most weeks we'll put that at the end of the show. I think this week, if I can remember when I'm putting the show together, I'll put my old song at the end of it, just so people can hear that one. Also this week I spent a little time and got our podcast put on some different spots. So if you listen to Spotify, if you use Stitcher, if you use TuneIn, the show is now on there as well. I thought they were at some of these spaces and they weren't. So here you go. A few more spots for you to find us. All right. Now that we've got all the housekeeping out of the way, Alan, how you doing?
Doing well. enjoying some baseball and, trying to stay COVID free, and with a daughter in college, that hasn't been the best of luck, but we're all doing well other than that. And it's good to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been an up and down week, just in the baseball, not even in your household. Last we were talking after last time, we talked after the Pirates sweep, the doubleheader, I think we did. We talked about, you know, we saw the have trouble. And then we see Alan, we saw Adam Wainwright come out on Sunday and put the team on his back. And that was quite a performance. I don't know if we could say enough about what Adam Wainwright did on Sunday.
No, absolutely not. I didn't. I thought that the days of being that true ace were behind him. And that was ace work that he did Sunday. You stopped the bleeding. You saved the bullpen. You build momentum going into Cincinnati. It was just massive. I mean, it was one of those situations where you were down after the doubleheader. You're thinking, oh man, but you can still win a series against a, uh, a really good Cleveland team. And boy, that was blown out of the water quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was ugly. And the baseball was ugly. And, you know, a lot of the cracks that we've seen the last few years showed themselves over the weekend. And you're thinking, okay, well, there's doubt in my mind that they're going to recover from this just because they may not have the energy to recover from this at this point. Now, playing every day may actually catch up to them. And Wainwright just changed the trajectory of that. I mean, that's what that start did. It was just, it's one of the better starts for everything surrounding it, what it meant that the best starts we've seen in the last few years. And to build on that, to get right into the good start on Monday night, I mean, it speaks volumes for the ball club.
Yeah, it really did. And I mean, I think it tells you what kind of a week it is when you can lose by 12 at the beginning of it and win by 15 or 14 close to the end of it. You know, it's inconsistent, may be the best way to put it. But yeah, I mean, to go out 39th birthday in a game that the Cardinals really had to, I don't want to say had to win, but really kind of needed to win, especially after losing the two games against the Indians and losing the day before in such a tough fashion, going into their first extra inning game that was a 9-inning game, and losing, you know, just kind of in a tough way. Between the two games, like you said, the bullpen's so taxed. And for Wainwright to basically texted Schilt and said, "Hey, I'm going. I'll pitch it all. Don't worry about it." He says, he told them 120 pitches minimum. He told everybody basically just give me what you got and told the bullpen he'd take care of it. And to go out and fulfill all of that is just remarkable. Because you don't get that very often. I mean, it's like, I had a Wainwright probably goes that every time thinking he can throw 120 pitches. But you know, we've seen, occasionally in big spots, it doesn't come through. Now, a lot of times he does, but sometimes he doesn't. So to be able to go out there and put that together, it did. It really had to fire some people up. And then they go in, you know, they win a game against the Reds that got close at the end, but for the most part was not a problem. Then they win the blowout. And it kind of felt like everything was going well. And then you run into a game like last night, and it kind of put a pretty good damper on things. Overall, Cardinals, after the Cubs lose today, 3.5 games back, they're sitting at 500. And, well, it's kind of hard for me to see right now that this team is much more than a 500 team, which is not necessarily bad. They're probably going to make the playoffs at 500. But it doesn't feel like this is a team that's got a big run in them that's going to get 5 or 7 games over by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those to where you and I were texting throughout the game last night. Crisp, good baseball. It was fun to watch. But it was very predictable when it got late. You know, mm-hmm. After they had tied it up at 3, you kind of thought, okay, the Cardinals better take advantage of this, or we know where this is going to go. I mean, a Gallegos can't be perfect. You know, their bullpen kept him in the game. It was impressive last night. And Oviedo, actually, I thought threw really well. And it's one of those to where, you know, with 3 left with Cincinnati the rest of the way, you know, a sweep, and the Reds are probably in some serious trouble. And the more you beat up on those guys, the better your chances are. You know, kind of like we had talked about from the beginning, it's kind of going to be a race to 500 to me. I feel like everybody's going to be around the same. You know, I'm not sure if it's a benefit or a detriment to the Cardinals that they're going to have to basically get in on winning percentage. So, you know, I hope they don't get burned by the situation. I do feel like they'll be in the playoffs. I do. We say this all the time. You pitch, you win, and you feel like that will be enough. But those are the games where you look back and you think, oh, man, you're going to kick yourself over a 1-1 game, especially when you blow an opportunity. And unfortunately for the Cardinals right now, you could probably point out 5 or 6 of those in their 15 losses, you know, that they've done that, you know, where they've stranded a runner late or blew an opportunity. And, you know, where would you be, you know, if you would have had a hit here or there? You know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You think about the two games they lost in Chicago, or 2 of the 3 they lost in Chicago last time around that were, you know, they were winning until the 8th or tied in late, and you had a pretty good chance. And, you know, one bad pitch did it. And that's kind of what happened last night. I mean, Gallegos had a, I think he had the first guy struck out and the umpire didn't call it. And then that's, you're already bad off there. And then snowballed with another one, but, you know, almost worked out of it. And it just, you know, you're right, guy. He couldn't be perfect every time. And, but it is frustrating because that's, I think that's just the reason about this team is they're very good to pitch. They can pitch well, they're going to keep other teams down, but they're not necessarily going to score a lot of runs. So they're going to lose close games just because of that. And, you know, last night kind of got back to what we talked about last week with the, you know, a lot of base runners, bases loaded in the ninth and two shots at it and two strikeouts. What does that do for this outfield, do you think? We could talk, we got a lot of issues going on with the outfield right now. You've got Dexter Fowler going on the disabled list or injured list with not it related to COVID because he's taking a medicine that could reduce his immune system. And so they're going to be cautious and put him on that. He may come back, he may not. But then you've got, you know, you've got Bader, who's been dealing with migraines, seems like, quite a bit for the last week. And then you've got Carlson and you've got O'Neill that have been struggling. You've got Thomas, who's just back. How does this all work out?
That's a great question. I was glad to see that they were so public about it's funny that it's refreshing to hear some of the disappointment in the outfield because we really just didn't know. I mean, we felt like it was being said behind closed doors, but when Mo came out and said, the production is just not where we want to be. We all know that. They know that. It's just glad to see that it was going to be addressed. It may not have been an accident that he said it right after the deadline, but just like you and I spoke last week, it's tough for them to do anything at the deadline. You know, one, that's not their MO the last 4 or 5 years anyway. Two, I mean, there's not much they could have done, like literally would have been able to pass off to other teams or, you know, figured out the COVID situation of guys coming in. And they were their hands were tied in that. Yeah, you hate to see that for Fowler. Somebody that's having a bounce back year, who has pretty much been the best hitting outfielder and has looked really good doing it, for him to go down. It looks good that we're going to see some Carlson playing time. I'm hoping the results are a little bit different. He was promised playing time anyway, and you had a feeling they were going to figure it out, you know, in the 40, 50 games that he's going to play. You just wish that someone in that outfield would just take it and run with it. You know, the first week of the season, we thought it may be O'Neill, and he's never really recovered from that. You know, Bader's Bader. You know, he was really, really hitting the ball well until the migraine issue. And maybe he can bounce back from that. And then Thomas, you don't know. I thought there were some pretty glaring comments I felt after the game last night about the possibility of pitch hitting Carlson right there. And then Schultz saying these guys are going to have to figure out how to win ball games if they're going to be everyday players. That I felt like this week, Mo and Schultz were very forward about the situation. And I think you could probably read between the lines that Edmund was playing the outfield as well, considering that, you know, it's not like Carpenter's hit well. The offense is going to be frustrating. We hope that changes. If one guy gets hot, they definitely can. It's one of those situations to where, yeah, I agree that they'll probably be in the playoffs, but are we wasting a 32-year-old Goldschmidt in a shortened season and maybe as best as a Cardinal? You know, global situation is going to going to determine that more than anything. But, you know, it's pretty sad when he's having the season that he has and may not be much to show for it.
Yeah, there is that. But I mean, to some degree, you're right. It's out of their hands. It's just a shortened season. Even if he had, you know, hit 40 homers in 60 games, you know, you'd have to put something around him to or you waste it. I don't know. I think it's also interesting, as you said, they made a lot of comments, and there were some comments made by Mo basically suggesting about Carpenter. He said, you know, 2 years ago when Carpenter was off such a slow start, the metrics were there, you know, the hit, hard hit ball rates and things like that. It was just, you know, it was just a matter of time before it turned around. And he said, you know, look, right now that isn't the case right now. Those metrics aren't there now, which makes you wonder again, when are they going to, you know, how long do they run with him? Let Edmund play third. But, you know, there's an article at Viva Alberto's today. I think Jason Hill wrote it today, which is, you know, Edmund is probably not on a good team, a regular. You know, I think that he's a guy that helps, that he's maybe that, you know, we always want him to be that Vin Zobrist type. But, you know, those kind of guys, you know, don't play necessarily every day. They play a lot of days and they play in a lot of positions. But, you know, ideally you'd have people that are better than that at those positions. And the Cardinals don't seem to have that. They seem to have put themselves into, well, we've talked about it for years. They've got a lot of good players. They don't have a lot of great players. Goldschmidt this year is looking like the great player that they thought they were getting, but it feels like you need more than one of those. But you go, to go back to the trade deadline for just a minute before we get too far away from that, I think all those points that you brought up are right, but I also think, I don't know that there was a bat available, and we don't know who all was available. We just know who was traded. But I don't know that there was a bat available that would have made that kind of difference here. I mean, you'd like to go to Colorado and get Arnando, but, you know, I don't think that was going to happen, especially at the time. You know, Colorado's got about the same chance of making the playoffs as the Cardinals do right now, at least as a wild card. You know, I think you would need a franchise changing bat to go along with that. I think if you go out and get a guy like, you know, Starling Marte traded, and I mean, he would have been an upgrade over what we've seen out of O'Neill and all them, but is he a long-term upgrade? I don't know that he would be. Maybe. I mean, he's probably at least more consistent than the ones we have. But then again, then that just kind of throws you into the same kind of, that just adds to the mix that you've got problems with now. So I don't like the fact that they sat quiet for the fifth straight year, but it's really hard to see any way that they could have done anything differently.
Yeah, completely agree. That's exactly how I felt about it. It was this, you know, we've used the line a lot. I didn't feel like they were going to lose their discipline in a shortened season if they haven't already. They're going to ride it out. But, you know, Marte was the name that I was thinking of too. He's one of those that, you know, if he was dealt and he was available and he was traded for, you know, he was moved.
Yeah.
It would have made a lot of sense, you know, to get some consistency in there, but that's not, I mean, they're trying to figure out what they have here. And you do wonder and you ask yourself and, you know, ask the airwaves on here, have we not figured out what we've got? You know what I mean by that? I mean, just like, you know, things really haven't changed. So I don't know, you know, are you going to go for it and try to win in a short season or going to ride it out with these guys, which we had decided that's what's going to happen. It's crazy. It's crazy where they are right now. You do wonder where the production is going to come from in the outfield. You do wonder if you see Edmund out there more. I could see it turn into a situation of Carlson is your steady in the outfield, and the other three are day to day where they're going to start. Ooh. I could see Bader doing it for defensive purposes only and playing a ton of center from here on out. But I've been wrong on those things too. And then in the infield, you kind of wonder if it's going to be a Miller, Edmund, and then Carpenter's going to have to find his way onto the field somehow. That's the way I can see things shaking out. But hopefully someone makes those decisions difficult by actually getting hot and hitting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the one guy that is doing that is Brad Miller right now, and which is maybe a little bit of a problem as well, because we think we've proven that Brad Miller doesn't need to play third base. You know, if at all possible. So he's going to be your DH, and he's going to be a DH for a while, at least till he cools down, if he does. Which means, yeah, you've got to rotate that kind of that rotating wheel of Edmund and Carpenter at third base. But, you know, again, I don't think Mike Shildt is necessarily one to just, you know, ride the veteran type players. I mean, he's willing to make moves. But I think he's going to have to probably do something with Carpenter pretty soon. I mean, it feels like that's, I'm not saying that that's going to solve the problems, but I think if you play Edmund at third base and let Carpenter be more of a bench bat, you're probably helping your situation overall by a little bit.
Yeah. And with the three doubleheaders, in, you know, from starting tomorrow, basically within a week, there's going to be opportunities for everybody.
Right.
And that's, I think that's something to, to consider. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's one of those to where this is worst case scenario really for the Cardinals of Bader being Bader and not being who we hoped he was. Mm-hmm. O'Neill not playing very well after the beginning of the season, and Carpenter still showing a little bit of signs of regression. With Thomas, the big question mark still yet. We've learned nothing from the start of the season, and I don't think that was the game plan at all.
No. I've been a little surprised. I know you and I have talked about it, that they haven't – that they've let Tyler O'Neill sit as much as they have. You know, it's not even a kind of rotation of, okay, he didn't play. He's, you know, he sat for 3-4 days at a time, at a stretch. And again, not that he is lighting the world on fire or anything like that, but if nothing else, he does bring the power potential that few in this lineup do. I mean, outside of Miller and Goldschmidt and probably DeYoung, he's got the most, I mean, he's the most likely to actually hit a home run. Now he has to hit the ball, and that's the problem, of course. But I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't seen him, you know, he didn't really, I mean, he didn't necessarily take advantage of it, but it doesn't feel like, at least lately, that they've let him just have a little bit of a run, and maybe they will soon. I mean, maybe that was part of, you know, playing last night and let him face Iglesias in the ninth. It was, you know, he's going to be, like you said, Schilt said, hey, they're going to have to face these guys. Well, he's going to be facing those guys. I mean, he's going to be playing. So, I don't know. This weekend is so important, and yet we're still going to have to sit there and kind of experiment because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny. That's kind of how I feel about O'Neill as well, is he has so many attributes right now to benefit a struggling offense. Is the ability to run. He's played well defensively, and he can walk into doubles and homers. And you would feel like that would be a benefit right now, considering no one else is hitting. But it's funny. He gets the extended times. Like, I'm surprised that we did not hear he wasn't battling with something when Edmund played all those days in row and left field. Yep. I kind of felt like we were going to hear that he was banged up in some way, and I was really surprised that we weren't. So, yeah, I don't know. It's odd. It's the whole situation is very strange, and they brought it on themselves. And it's tough to not see at least somebody taking the reins, including Carlson. But Carlson is the one with the biggest with the learning curve right now because he was kind of forced into things. It seems like he's probably going to get a long run in right field. And I think you were right yesterday. Like, he's going to get the day off tomorrow to play these guys because he probably plays the rest of them one out, you know, considering that he may set some of the doubleheaders just because it's going to be so tough. But he's going to be their starting right fielder.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm kind of glad Schilt didn't pinch hit him last night, just because I think that's a lot to ask for a guy, you know, a young guy to come off, you know, that's played, what, 15 games or whatever, 20 games?
I completely agree with you. And I was going to say that earlier, too. I feel like that may have been about Carlson as much as it was about Thomas and O'Neill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, a lot of variables in there, but I would not have liked to have him come up, especially if he started. Now, if he'd been going well, you know, maybe that's a confidence booster or something like that if he can come through. But it feels like, and we don't know, but with 2 days off, it feels like either they're trying to get him out of his own head, or they were trying to make some sort of, you know, work on some mechanical adjustments that maybe he needed to do. I don't know. We'll find out. You know, I'm sure, like you said, he should play tomorrow. Definitely will play Saturday with a doubleheader. And maybe we'll see how it goes from there. But you're right. I think that they're getting to the point where they have to just, you know, again, if he was struggling and O'Neill and Bader were just lighting the world on fire and all that, then maybe he doesn't play every day. But since they're hurting, you know, it's kind of that idea. If you're going to call them up, you got to play them. I feel like that's where it's going to be, which then makes, you know, how does that rest of that rotate out again? If you let Edmund play third base, at least you can play Bader, O'Neill, and Thomas on some sort of regular rotation. But if you start putting Edmund out in that outfield, you got a lot of bench bats, and these bench bats don't play. I mean, with a DH, we don't see pinch hitters like we usually do.
No, it could be. Yeah, it's going to be a fluid situation, and there's a lot of baseball to play, and hopefully somebody takes off, and it's it's odd. I mean, I can't remember if it was Gould or Hummel that said something in an article this week that said something along the lines of Carlson basically right now is the, and even including Fowler, is the only outfielder that's pretty much guaranteed to start next year. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was pretty interesting and probably pretty telling.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I mean, when it comes to a point where you have to decide if this is what that is, what you've got. And, you know, outfield is a fairly easy place to upgrade. It feels like in free agency and stuff like that, or trades or stuff like that. Especially this, we don't know what this winter is going to look like. I mean, there's going to be players cut, and there's going to be, you know, very cold market, you would expect. Mm-hmm. So there may be a lot of players out there at a price that the Cardinals can, you know, get a bargain, which is what they really like to do. But yeah, I think they're going to have to, make their decision. And it is not fair necessarily that they're having to make their decisions based on what we've seen this year, but you've also got what they've done last year, what they've done the year before. And you just can't keep stringing along, but because by the time, if you let these guys go back at the rate, you know, and start in 21 and they continue to do what they're doing, then you've just wasted another year. And it's fairly clear that the Cardinals need some sort of offensive punch from somewhere. And that's the easiest place to do it. You know, I figure you can flip one of these guys. It may not be for much, but you can flip them for, you know, something, and then go out and get you an outfielder that can do something. Now, it's very interesting. You and I were talking today about the fact that, you know, Justin Williams is still sitting on the 40 man, but hasn't made it to St. Louis. And it really feels like he's not going to be the answer, because if you can't make it to St. Louis in this year, you're not going to make it to St. Louis.
that's a weird situation. I had honestly, he was so far down the depth chart that I thought he may have had COVID. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, you hadn't heard anything. Yeah, his name was very rarely mentioned. It was in an article this week that I thought, you know what? It's funny. That's a left-handed bat that's lingering around there somewhere. But like you said, I mean, how much competitive baseball is he playing right now? I mean, what can you expect a guy like that to come in and step in and play? I mean, or in hit? I don't know. I mean, it's very bizarre that name hasn't been mentioned at all, especially with the multiple guys going down with COVID. You know, then they were two outfielders short recently, and you never heard much about him coming up. So, yeah, I'm not sure. It's funny. Someone posted a, would you take 2 to 3 years of a Cardinal tank to come mm-hmm. back and play? I just don't feel like the Cardinals need to do that. I feel like they can move on with some of these guys and actually spend some money and go get someone, like you said, in a pretty easy area to upgrade, because there's always upgrades out there. I hope that this isn't a crutch for them not to spend money for a couple years, though.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no doubt that it's going to be a factor. Just because of how much they didn't get. Now, the fact that they got to play 60 games and they've got the revenue from that helps for sure. But no fans, no, a lot of this extra stuff they're having to pay for is going to be difficult for them to go out and then spend $25 million a year on an outfielder. But on the flip side, you were talking a while ago about wasting a Goldschmidt year. You may only have a couple more years of Jack Flaherty on this team too. And do you really want to waste this pitching staff by not doing something? I would hope not, because I mean, this is an interesting, you know, Flaherty. And then I don't know about you. I've really liked what we've seen out of Oviedo. I don't know if it'll continue in a full season or whatever, but what we've seen so far, I mean, he's got a real solid chance of being part of this team. You've still got Carlos Martinez, although that's a story that we can talk about a little bit, and I don't know what that future looks like. But in theory, you could have those three guys and a Dakota Hudson, and you know, you've got Kim Michaelis at the very back of that. That's it feels like a very strong rotation that can win you some ballgames and do well in the playoffs. You know, if you could put something with it, I would hate to think that they would waste what, like I said, Jack Flaherty is not going to give him a hometown discount, and he's not necessarily, I don't know, overly, I think he likes the organization, but you know, if somebody comes that offers him another $5-7 million a year or whatever, or not even that, maybe total contract, he's probably going to take it. So he knows his value. So I don't know. It feels like to me, like you said, they just need to be careful about not wasting the talent that they've put together. There's a reason they went out and got young talent and did all their scouting and all that. It's to be able to have these kind of moments. Now they can take advantage of them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. It feels like, you know, 2 points to get Flaherty, they're going to have to overpay and they're going to probably have to do it early, because if he gets anywhere close to the market, you know, one of the West Coast team or one of the coast teams are going to pay
all over him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And yep. That's exactly who I was thinking about.
Yep.
And their pockets are deeper. Yep. I completely agree with you on Oviedo. I think it's funny how we talked about it last week of having some issues with Ponce and seeing how that worked. And that's probably the one area that you were a little bit nervous about. Mm-hmm. And to see that when he went out, they immediately named Oviedo the starter, I thought says a lot, you know, especially when you have a Gomber ready to go and a Woodford who's impressed. You go ahead and go with Oviedo on that. That says a lot. I feel like Oviedo was the progression of up and coming quick came from Hicks to Helsley to Oviedo, and Oviedo was taking the opportunity and ran with it. I mean, I felt like he's pitched well. Yeah, they still have a wealth of pitching, and it's one of those to where even without Ponce de Leon, they still have a ton of arms. And you do wonder, it just gets a little frustrating. You're thinking, you have a wealth of arms that you could trade. You could have a wealth of arms that you can build around, but you would have to build on it. You know, mm-hmm. you can't waste these seasons that you're having now, and you can't waste a potential, you know, top five MVP finish at a Goldschmidt. And it's frustrating. You know, this is the Goldschmidt that they were hoping they would get. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's 32, played next year his 33 season, so you just don't know how long that's going to last, as we've seen what's happened to Carpenter. So, it gets a little frustrating, and you feel like the division's very winnable right now.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. I mean, the Cardinals right now, after today's games, they have the best run differential in the division. Which is not everything, but it's something, and they're doing it more by run suppression than run scoring, obviously. But they're plus 19, and the Cubs are plus 16. The Cubs, you know, let's see, they started off 13-3, right? So they're like 9-12 since that run. Everybody else is playing under 500 in the division. I mean, if the Cardinals don't make the playoffs, then there needs to be some significant changes, I think, even with all the problems they've had and even with the short season and all that kind of stuff. If they missed the playoffs with everything that's going for them, because the closest team to them behind them is Milwaukee, and they sold at the deadline, you know? That doesn't necessarily mean anything either. They didn't do a whole, like, a teardown, but still, they didn't bring in pieces. The Reds did, and the Reds are fine, and then they lost the next two games, so... you're right. This is a winnable division, and it's going to be winnable for a couple of years to come. I mean, the Cubs are a team that's probably the biggest rival right now, right, for the next 2 or 3 years, and they're about to probably have to break that team up a little bit. You know, Bryant may not be there and some others, and the pitching staff is already struggling. Saw where their farm system was rated like 26th or something like that, so they're not necessarily prospects come up to do that. This feels like a chance for the Cardinals to reassert themselves, and maybe one move in the offseason is all they need to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those to where the Cardinals have a wealth of things, a wealth of arms that the Cubs have never been able to develop. Mm-hmm. And the Cubs are staring at financial issues. And you do wonder if there wouldn't have been some pieces moved if this was a regular, you know, 162. Right. Right. You know, you have to ask yourself that. I think they're kind of coming back down to earth a little bit. I say that, and they'll win 4 or 5 this weekend, which I'm not even sure if that's indicative of anything right now, right, how this season's gone. But you're exactly right. It feels like it's right there. I mean, we're looking at, you've got a really good infield. You just don't want to waste it. And you feel like you have the assets on the mound that you could avoid wasting those seasons, but you just never know. I mean, it's really strange. I'm not sure Milwaukee or Cincinnati really knows what they are right now. Mm-hmm. You know, Milwaukee doesn't hit neither the Cincinnati. And I felt like Cincinnati brought in a bunch of bats to keep up with that pitching staff, which I don't think the pitching staff's that great. So I don't know. I mean, it adds to the frustration because you feel like they could probably run away with it, not even this year, next year. But it's going to take some movement. It's going to take movement away from some of these guys that they may feel is due for a bounce back.
And I think to some degree, they're a little bit afraid of them going off and doing well. I mean, we've seen what Luke Voit did in New York. And again, I think he's made some adjustments. It's a better ballpark, all that. I don't, you know, not saying that he would have done that here, but you know, it feels like a lot of the guys that they've let go, Grichuk, Piscotty, Voit, have had more success in their new location. Not necessarily that they're all stars, although Voit obviously is. But that they're still, and they're, not only are they better than they were, they're better than whatever the Cardinals have put in their place. And that's got to be a little bit frustrating too, but I don't know. Again, I like all the guys on this team. I don't really want to see, I mean, if you told me they had to trade somebody, I don't know who I'd pick. And I don't necessarily want them to just, you know, start waving people, but it just feels like there's a level that they're not getting over with these guys, and it's really hard to see that any of them are going to be that. I mean, Harrison Bader coming up, we thought was a fourth outfielder. Tyler O'Neill has potential, and maybe he's a guy that you spend a little bit more time with. You know, I don't know about Lake Thomas. I really don't. So you start looking at all that, and it's just like, you know, maybe you have to just gamble that they're not going to be that good. And if they burn you, they burn you, you know, you just hope they don't go to the Cubs. Like Jose Martinez has now in a roundabout way. We'll see him this weekend. You got to just hope that, and Tommy Pham, I guess would be the closest to the other one too, but, I don't know. But unfortunately, like we were saying, you can see the front office saying, well, the Cubs are about to implode and nobody else is a real threat. So we can spend another year trying to figure these guys out because there's not going to be that much competition. And one, that usually winds up biting you because somebody's going to be better than you think. But two, that, you know, I don't think we have to just get by. I think it'd be a lot better if they tried to, you know, go out and plan to win the World Series more than planning to win, you know, the division.
Yeah, that's I felt like this was going to be the last year of the struggle to find at bats for these umpires, for these outfielders, and I hope that's the case. You know, I hope that we figured out that this is what you have, and go from there. I mean, you've shown that Carlson can play and he can play center field. You have other options. You feel like you could upgrade there pretty easy. So I don't know. I 2021, I kind of hope to avoid having to see a guy and hope for a bounce back on somebody.
Yeah. But we got to get through 2020 first, and there's still plenty of it.
And ultimately, they could be a tough out in a playoff.
Yeah.
With their pitching alone. I mean, it could be fun to watch, and this may be a moot point, and they win it, and then they feel like they have room to let a guy grow a little bit.
And I mean, you know, again, we're all here complaining, but if Tyler O'Neill pinch hits a home run in the bottom of the ninth to win a ball game in the playoffs, then we're all happy and everything. So at least until the next day or something of that nature. We're about to hit the stretch. Like you said, the doubleheaders are coming. Let's see, what do we got? Let me pull that schedule up real quick. But we got the one this weekend. Then you got the two next week around the off day, the 9th, 8th, and the 10th. They both have doubleheaders. And then you got three the next week.
Yeah.
And then the one final one there right before the end of the season. How do you feel about this? I mean, do you feel like they're going to be able to handle this kind of push? I mean, not just, I mean, we know what we saw with Mo switching players in and out and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like if they can get on that roll, they're going to be in good shape, but they got to get there.
Yeah. That's, I'm glad that they're building up a sixth starter and that can keep you into some games. It's that last week is going to be is the last 2 weeks are going to be tough, just because you have that Milwaukee gauntlet of playing your whole season, you know, in about a 10-day span. That would be tough. The but it is what it is at this point. You know, that's we knew that that they had this ahead, and hopefully they can mix and match and find a way to win some ball games and win series. And you do that, you'd be right there.
Yeah, you got a road trip there of 13 games in what, like 11 days or something? No, 10 days, I guess. That's hard, especially, like I said, on the road. But you're going to know the Brewers. You're going to know the Brewers real well right before the season ends. I don't know. I mean, on the positive side, you know, they got the Cubs this weekend. They've got the Twins left, that doubleheader with the Twins. And that's really the hardest part, right? I mean, that if you get through that, you got a doubleheader with the Tigers, who are currently 500. then they got the Reds. Then you've got the Brewers, Pirates, Royals, Brewers, all well under 500.
Yeah, they're going to be winnable games. I'm not sure who the Brewers are at this point. You know, I've seen them to where they were pretty decent, but they don't really score any runs. And their pitching has never intimidated. I've never been impressed with them. So it feels like if you get past that and you can win 3 of 5, you will probably have the advantage against Pittsburgh and Kansas City, unless the bats just go completely cold. And I feel like you'd be in a pretty good situation right there. Keep your head above water. Stay about 500. You stay about 500. I don't know if anybody else in the division is at that level, just because you'll win the head-to-heads. And I think you're in a pretty good spot. I do think they get in. I do think they get in. I think in a perfect world, they'll be pretty scary. But it's tough not to think that you're going to be completely out of gas that last week.
Yeah, I mean, I've also said that if they get into the playoffs, you just wonder what they've got to have left in them.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they get a little bit more spacing of games and stuff like that, a little bit better. You're not playing doubleheaders. But there's not going to be a whole lot left on that team. So, anyway, okay. Well, I think things are kind of
as I want to say, I don't know how to look at it. Is this team, does it go as far as your pitching takes you, or does it go as far as your hitting takes you? I really don't know. And it's kind of tough for me to say, because, you know, they've pitched about as well as you could, you know, to be 14-14, and it seems like the offense have failed them to lose some games. So you do wonder if can they ride out the pitching, or is the offense ever going to catch up to where they can steal a few series here and there?
I think that. I mean, you look at some of the games that they've lost, and I mean, one, you can really point a finger to the offense and not scoring enough runs and having opportunities. But you can also look at the fact that, you know, they've had leads in some of them that they've, you know, bullpen has blown. And, you know, it feels like Tyler Webb has shifted out of any sort of high leverage situation. I haven't seen who pitched. I think he pitched in both of those blowouts, but very late, you know. I don't know that we're going to see him facing, you know, a tough lefty with the game on the line or anything more. So that, you know, we're starting to maybe shuffle the bullpen roles. You've got a Gomber there. You've got Gallegos. You've got, you know, I don't know, we may see Andrew Miller come back, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the day. I mean, it's probably the offense, but if the pitching isn't at the level that it is shown, they don't have a chance. It doesn't really matter. The offense could improve by 50%, but if this pitching staff doesn't pitch like that, I don't think that's enough. So I kind of feel like, of course, you know, it's that old pitching and defense wins championships thing. I kind of feel like the pitching is going to be the bigger issue. And you just kind of hope that they can hold the big bats down of all the teams that they're going to be facing. And, you know, I'd rather, if you told me that they were going to play the Dodgers to a 2-1 score, I'd say they probably win that game. You know, that's just my feeling. If you tell me it's a 6-3 game, I'm saying they probably lost. So,
yeah,
I think that's where I'm going with on that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tough to argue that. I completely agree with you, and it's that's the scary portion of it, because you do think that the rotation would be the first thing to crack when it's being tested, like it's going to be in those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, whether they can handle the strain of this. Now, again, the good thing is, and we've talked about this before, doubleheaders mean that, you know, you can have a starter throw a complete game, and it's not that big a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. If you've got starter going 5 innings, you only have to cover 2 innings for the bullpen. So, I mean, it's a lot of extra stuff. There's no doubt about it. But it's better than if they had to play all these doubleheaders and there were 9-inning games. I think they can, you know, if Jack Flaherty's going, you know, a 7-inning game is not a problem for him at all. And we've seen Adam Wainwright can do that. And Dakota Hudson has pitched better. I mean, you know, you and I both have been rough on Hudson, but he has definitely stepped it up over the last little bit. And, you know, he didn't even walk anybody last time out, and that's stunning out of Hudson. So, you know, I mean, if you get your starters and KK, I mean, KK has been so impressive in the rotation. It's hard to, I mean, you look at that rotation and you say, I don't see anybody that can't go, that you wouldn't expect to go 6 innings. And being that you don't have to pinch hit for them because you're not playing with it, you're playing with the DH. I mean, they can, it may not be as bad of a thing as it looks like on paper.
No, and you know what? And it's funny, in any fantasy scenario to where they're able to sneak into a playoff round, Flaherty, Wainwright, Kim looks pretty good to beat teams, you know, and it's that all depends on how everything finishes, but their rotation's been good. I mean, it's funny. You remove Potts from it, where we were a little skeptical of Potts from the beginning. He just, too many pitches, the high strikeout numbers, but I mean, just too many pitches early. It was going to get exposed, and he wasn't fooling anybody in the Cleveland series. That was pretty ugly. So you get Martinez back, and if he's anywhere close to the Martinez that we hope that he can be, you're looking pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a Carlos Martinez at somewhat close to his top of his game. And the fact that he hasn't pitched, I mean, he's only going to get, they said he's not going to be in Chicago, or he shouldn't be. So the earliest you see him back is probably maybe one of those doubleheaders against either the Twins or the Tigers. Probably the Tigers, because he didn't look so great against the Twins before all this. Yeah. But, you know, so that gives him probably what, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 starts on the year. But, you know, if he can build up some stamina and look, especially by the end of the year, like what Carlos Martinez can look like, I mean, yeah, you're right. That just, I mean, you start wondering how do you get all these starters in the rotation? Because, you know, I mean, you bump out Oviedo, I guess, and move him to the bullpen, but, you know, that's a tough call too. So they can have a lot of assets there. But there's a lot of ifs involved in that too, especially with Carlos, because I mean, you know, it's like you and I were talking about with Justin Williams and stuff like that. How developed can you get at Springfield? I think that I saw something about Ryan Helsley that he was throwing what, you know, 92 or so down there, and he expected to gain, you know, 2 or 3 miles an hour as he worked here in the major leagues. But I feel like that's some of it. You know, they can't really go at full bore against, you know, guys that were drafted this year. And Walker and Wynn down there and stuff like that. So I think they've got to develop some in competition, and there's just not a lot of that time left either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a bizarre year. I mean, it's funny how little we've heard has happened out of some of these minor league satellite camps.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I didn't realize until later on that I think it was the Padres. Houston. No, it's Houston that had to shut theirs down twice.
I know that. No.
Because of COVID. Wow. But yeah, I mean, how can he? I mean, the Cardinals have got less than a full roster down there. You know, they've got a lot of arms, but they don't have enough to play an actual game.
Yeah.
Or, you know, definitely not enough to put two squads together. So I don't know. I would be very interested to see how these guys, you know, what this does to Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore, especially guys that aren't going to see major league stuff. I saw that MLB is going to allow for instructional leagues this fall. So that'll help those guys too. But I hope it doesn't really, you know, stunt their development, but you got to figure it's pushed them a little bit farther back from making a major league debut.
Oh, sure. I mean, I feel like the clubs will be a little hesitant to make a lot of moves, not necessarily trade moves, but, you know, moves within the organization due to, they feel like they've lost a year of development.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's the trade. That was part of the trade thing too. Was the fact that these guys, you know, the prospects that you normally would trade for or use in trades, nobody's been able to see and nobody's been able to play. So they didn't, you know, didn't have the information that they felt like they needed. So, this is it. I mean, we're, you know, it's kind of funny that we kind of feel like, okay, well, there's a lot of baseball left. Well, there is. There's about half a season, but that's also like, you know, 30 games. And,
you know, yeah.
It's like, and it'll be gone. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. Can't believe it's already time for Andrew Miller to come back, because he's technically eligible to come back, I think, today or maybe tomorrow. But, you know, so, you know, we blink, and this time we come back next week, we'll probably do it on the off day, which actually will be a Wednesday this year, not this week, like I said last week. you know, we'll have 7 more games between now and then. Then, you know, after that, the next time we do it, we'll probably have about 15 games, you know, it feels like, between that show and the next show. And then, you know, then you're done almost. It's right on us. This September feels different, obviously. But we've got to remember you're in playoff, you're in that stretch run baseball, even if it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, even early in the season when they go down and you're thinking, they have time to make these games up. And then you realize how difficult the scheduling was to make these games up, because it's all crammed into such little time.
Yeah, it is. And it's unfortunate that they're doing it this way. You know, it'd be nice to have seen what the season would have been like if they played the regular 60-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know. You know, we talked about this, I think, some. I don't know which – I don't think that any team has played a regular 60-game schedule, right? I mean, between rainouts, between COVID, between protests, I mean, Major League Baseball very rarely has a full schedule on the docket. It feels like they've only done that, like – I think they've only done it, like, once or twice since that first weekend, between regular schedule, off days, everything. You know, because if the Cardinals have COVID, you know, like I said, the Cubs are having to play doubleheaders because they're playing the Cardinals. The Twins and the Tigers have to play that because they're playing the Cardinals. The West has probably been the best, most, the fewest, but they came with them with the protests. And then I know A's have had a case.
Oakland got hit. Yeah.
So I kind of feel like nobody's played. I can't imagine there's anybody out there that's played the 60-game schedule that baseball put out for them back in, you know, early July. I just don't know that anybody has.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, without looking it up, but just thinking about, you know, I mean, Miami's case had to affect a lot, and that, you know, other games canceled. I bet they haven't. It would be, it's, that's interesting. It's, you know, we always said whoever was healthiest would win this, and that may be the case, because you played more of your schedule regularly, but you still have to pay the price for other teams being not healthy. So
very true.
That's the way it goes. All right. Have we hit everything that we need to hit?
I think so.
I think we have, and apologize for all the craziness that was going on in the background. around here. But anyway, Alan and I will be back, like we said, probably next Wednesday. I'll try to get that game on the night between the off days. Or the off day between the two doubleheaders.
That's where we're at. Yeah, that's 7 games that we'll have to talk about. So,
and this Cup Series is big. I mean,
very big.
The last time they get to see them, you know, I don't expect a sweep, but a sweep would put you in first. I think you'd have to sweep to go into first. I don't think 4-1 would even do it. I'm not sure. No, it wouldn't. It'd put you half game back. So I feel like they've got to go at least 3-2.
Win the series. I agree. Yeah, it's gonna be if you almost have to win every series from here on out.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what makes it tough.
Yeah, because you're looking at doubleheaders and things in almost every one of them. I mean, you're probably not going to win the twin series. I mean, best you could hope for probably is a split there, just because it's two games.
Well, let me rephrase it. You almost have to win every series against your central rivals.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you plan to sneak in at 500.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, because it'll push them down. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, you know. Again, if you know if they don't win the series this weekend against the Cubs, they're still playoffs good chance. But I think that really hurts their chances of winning the division. Because I don't know. Let me see if I could pull the Cubs schedule up real quick. I don't know. Obviously, I know roughly which teams. I don't know if they play a lot of like the Twins and stuff like that, or if it's a lot of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, which it probably is. They may have gotten, if they've got a harder running ahead, then maybe you've got some ways to catch up. But they do. They still have two against the Indians. They have three against the Twins. They have three against the White Sox. So they just have three left with the Brewers and four left with the Pirates. Their schedule's and three left with the Reds after the Cardinals come through. Their schedule's a little bit tougher than the Cardinals is, except for the fact that they don't have to play doubleheaders. If you're just looking at quality of opponents. So, you know, maybe the Cardinals can make some ground up, but I think they really need to win this one, the series this weekend, and then they can not have to worry about it anymore. That'll probably push them at least close enough that games against the Brewers and Pirates, they can make up a game. Because there's some days, if they can sweep a doubleheader, they can make up at least half a game no matter what the Cubs do.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's going to be right there if they can pull those off.
Yep, for sure. Yep. Anyway, we should have plenty to talk about next week. We'll get at that then. And so until then, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to my daddy's show.
Welcome, Cardinals fans, to Conversations with C70. Please welcome your host, Daniel Shoptaw. Click and play, familiar tone. Shoptaw speaks here on my headphones. Yeah, he plays it calm, but that man is funky. Yeah, but what can I say? I'm a C70 junkie. Yeah, he'll take you on the team with the blogging scene. Talk the moves of the Cardinals and what they mean. He always has a real cool guest. He'll talk the Redbirds for all the rest. He's got his awesome kids to lead it off. And now he's got this sweet theme song. A blogging, tweeting baseball man. Sit back and listen, you'll become a fan. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. Now your host, Daniel Shoptaw.
You are listening to my day's show. Go Cardinals.